Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 2 Chronicles chapter 33. Second Chronicles chapter 33, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Baalim, and made groves, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. Also he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, In Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord, and he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times, and used enchantments, and used witchcraft, and dealt with a familiar spirit, and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made, in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to do all that I have commanded them, according to the whole law and the statutes and the ordinances by the hand of Moses. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err, and to do worse than the heathen, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Now after this, he built a wall without the city of David on the west side of Gihon, in the valley, even to the entering in at the fish gate, and compassed about Ophel, and raised it up a very great height, and put captains of war in all the fenced cities of Judah. And he took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, and sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high places, yet unto the Lord their God only. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh, and his prayer unto his God, and the words of the seers that spake to him in the name of the Lord God of Israel, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel. His prayer also, and how God was entreated of him, and all his sin, and his trespass, and the places wherein he built high places, and set up groves and graven images before he was humbled. Behold, they are written among the sayings of the seers. So Manasseh slept with his fathers, and they buried him in his own house. And Amon, his son, reigned in his stead. Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh his father. For Amon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made, and served them, and humbled not himself before the Lord, as Manasseh his father had humbled himself. But Amon trespassed more and more, and his servants conspired against him, and slew him in his own house. But the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Amon, and the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his stead. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. In the first portion of the chapter, then, I have it, verses 1 through 10, we have the sins of Manasseh. And they are weighty sins, without a doubt. Manasseh, perhaps, was one of the most wicked kings that ever, it would be difficult to say, graced the stage of Judah's kingdom, perhaps that ever trampled on the stage of Judah's kingdom. The writer here, Ezra, I believe, is shot through, if you will, if we use a colloquial and modern phrase. He is amazed at the wickedness of Manasseh because he brought his own carved image into the very place where God said his name would be. And so such a comparison there is made by the prophetic writer to teach us how egregious such a sin is. To have a place that is called by the name of the Lord and to worship another god there, how egregious it is. You know where I'm going with this. There are places that have the name of the Lord Jesus Christ on the outside and are far from Him on the inside. There are people who have the profession of Christian on the outside and are far from Him on the inside. As egregious as Manasseh's sin was, so also is that sin of hypocrisy, claiming the name of Christ, but in practice having nothing to do with Him. How difficult, how egregious, how sinful such an estate is. That's why Jesus called it the leaven of the scribes and Pharisees. It is an insidious thing. It is something that is contagious. Hypocrisy breeds hypocrisy. When Manasseh did what he did, his sin spread to all of the inhabitants of Judah because he encouraged them to participate in the same kind of hypocritical idolatry that he himself practiced. And so we have then the greatness of Manasseh's sin. We also have the length of Manasseh's reign, 52 years. Now, some have been very negative on that. Oh, the children of Israel endured a wicked king for so long. See, I rather see this as the name Methuselah. Methuselah. You know what the name Methuselah means? When he dies, it will come. At his death, or his death brings it. I mean, it's, you know. Yeah. His death brings it. What? What came at the death of Methuselah? The flood. It is impossible that any other man that lived in the history of the Scriptures should be older than Methuselah, because it was the long suffering of God that waited until Methuselah's death to bring the flood. And so it's quite obvious then that Methuselah had to be the oldest man in the Bible, because God is so very patient. 52 years of reign. Notice the patience of God in bringing Manasseh to repentance. He did not wipe him out, even though his sin was egregious. Rather, he chastised him with thorns, took him away in fetters to Babylon, and there Manasseh called on the name of the Lord, and you know what? The Lord delivered him. The Lord delivered him. Now, we haven't cataloged it, but we've read through it, and I've mentioned to you the greatness, the wickedness of Manasseh. And the Lord saved someone like him. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Timothy 1, says, I'm the chief of sinners. And you know why I'm the chief of sinners? I'm the chief of sinners so that God could show, by saving me, the chief of sinners, that He could save anybody. If He can save Manasseh, if He can save Paul, He can save us. Let us not then exalt the strength of man, because it is in the patience, in the long suffering, in the wooing, in the chastisement of God, we see Manasseh's salvation. And so we have in Manasseh then the great doctrine of the sovereignty of God in His forgiveness, in His patience, in His drawing, in His chastisement, in bringing to bear every means at His disposal or any means at His disposal to bring His people to their knees in repentance before Him. Notice also how Manasseh's conversion is characterized, how his salvation is characterized. It is characterized as him what? Humbling himself. That's great. Because it is indeed in our pride, in our self-serving ways, in our shaking our fist and refusing to bow the knee unto the Lord, that there will be those at the end of days who will go off in that posture to an eternal judgment, weeping and gnashing their teeth upon God, refusing even then His rule and reign. Manasseh, however, in Babylon learned humility and called upon the name of the Lord, and the Lord heard him and delivered him and restored him. And what does the inspired chronicler tell us at that point? Then Manasseh knew that Yahweh, He was God. No longer the images in the temple. No longer were those images kept. They were swept out as they ought to have been. And yet, we see then, because Manasseh indeed was the leader, the ruler of his people, that the scars of his rebellion against the Lord persisted among the people. They continued to worship in the high places, and his own son restored those images that he himself had swept out. We know not the damage that our pride will do. Let us suffice ourselves to know that it will do damage. Thus ends the reading then of 2 Chronicles chapter 33. Let's stand and continue.